On the phone this morning, I have Teresa Grantham, a Waiheke-based entrepreneur who has her business www.positiveelements.co.nz. This is a conscious business which works to create wealth and opportunities for cooperatives and villages around the world through promoting their sustainable handcrafts. So good morning, kia ora, Teresa.
Namaste, good morning. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Well, it's really important for us to be able to make sure we unfold it correctly for you, Teresa.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very, very big project, and even we get quite confused as to what we're doing sometimes. But it started off with a lovely journey. My father died, and he was Indian, and I didn't get to meet him until much later in my life. And he really, I've been a great junior and traveller, but I've never had the desire to go to India, which is where my roots are. My father was Indian. And after his death, he made me promise that I would go, and after his death I did. I was had been in the fashion industry for many years, and then had an art gallery for 7. And I literally just packed up the gallery and went to India and spent 9 months travelling around. And it wasn't until the very, very end of my journey that I was literally taken, and I can't explain it, but I was certainly guided to go to Pondicherry. And I was staying there, and I walked down the street, and again, I can't tell you how I got led there, but I walked up these steps into the shop and just felt this enormous joy. In fact, I nearly fell over. It was the most incredible experience I've ever had. And I opened my eyes, and there before me was just these amazing, beautiful products. And it wasn't so much even the products, but it was the feeling. It was the vibration that was coming off those products that even when I'm thinking about it now actually makes me quite overwhelmed. I feel quite teary, and that's exactly how I felt then. And I looked around, and then I got talking to one of the team members that was working there, and he told me the story of how they were made and where they came from. And they all came from a place from Auroville, which was not far from Pondicherry. And he very kindly gave me some addresses, and I went straight to Auroville to go and have a look at these places. And I expected Auroville to be this little tiny place, not realizing that it was a huge city and that I could probably get round it in a few hours. And of course it takes absolutely weeks to go around Auroville. And within Auroville it was created, it was the philosophy of the mother. And she was a French lady who ended up in Pondicherry and created this enormous vision of a city that actually belongs to nobody. So people can start up what they call units there, where they can produce goods, they can build their homes, but when they leave, that's it. They take nothing from Auroville. And many of the production units, where a lot of beautiful products are made, they actually give up to 40% back to Auroville. So a lot of money goes into the building of Auroville and creating the vision. But I was really just blown away by a couple of the units that I saw on that first trip, was the products that we're making, but not only the products, but the happiness of the people that were creating them. And it originally started for Indian women, so to give Indian women an income. And all of these women are part of the process. So whatever they're making or designing in these units, it could be paper products, it could be handbags, it could be candles, they're all part of the creation of it. And they work in magnificent conditions, so clean, better than some of the places I have seen in New Zealand. And they're also taken care of medically, educationally. They're taught many skills. Their families are taken care of, the villages are taken care of. So it's not just that person being looked after, but it's also the extended family. So I went to two. One was Maroma and one was Additions. One produces things like candles and beautiful gift sets and incense. And I had a look around there, and I just loved their products and placed an order to be shipped back to Zealand, and I also went to Editions, as it was called then, and I had a look at all the paper products, and again, stayed a long time with, you know, those that were creating the goods, and I just wanted to see, you know, how they did it and how they felt. And what I discovered was a lot of laughter, and it really humbled me that, you know, from so little, people are so happy. And that kind of started it, and I came back to Waiheke. They got shipped to Waiheke, where I live in Auckland, and I sold them at the market just to see how people's reactions. So I was really doing a little bit of market research there. So it wasn't just the goods that I was selling, but it was also the story behind it. And from there, it grew to where we started to supply a few stores. And then it kind of took on a life of its own, I guess. It became a personal journey for me. It was about letting go of many of my beliefs. You know, I'd come from the corporate background, worked in fashion, you know, letting all of that go and trusting that my journey through this, you know, everything was going to be okay. It's quite a big step when you decide that you're going to give up the wages that you've got and really commit yourself to something that you truly believe in. And it was the philosophy that I believed in. It was just the love and how these people were taking things like old shirts and turning them into beautiful paper products and using no toxins, making, you know, putting the imprint of leaves into the paper products, but everything was fallen. So nothing is taken from nature. They're also taught about ecology and how to look after the land and how to put back into the land. So that was something else that really impressed me with Auraville. So, yes, it was actually more about the story, and the products naturally sold, I think, because of that beautiful story behind them. And as I said, then became the idea of, you know, how can we make this a bigger organisation? And I guess that's where Kat came into it, our business partner. We actually met going down this amazing journey. Tim, I don't know whether you've been down the Whanganui River and experienced that journey down there, but Kat was in, and her mother was part of that crew that went down. And we kind of connected, and I'll let her tell the story.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, welcome to the program, Kat.
Thank you. Just continuing where Teresa left off, we met on a really quite a sacred transformational journey down the Whanganui River, and I just started kind of getting to know Teresa and what she was doing, and helping her out with a few bits and pieces here and there. And before I know it, I'm kind of, you know, an integral part of the business. And yeah, but it's been an amazing journey. I've been with Positive Elements for the last year and a half now, and just seeing how much it's grown in that time is quite amazing.
Yes. You're talking about, in many ways, conscious consumerism, so that when people actually buy these products that are made very close to the land and organically, they're used in such a way, or people who buy them are buying because they have a connection to what that product does, and that it doesn't actually leave much of a ecological footprint?
Yes. Certainly the story is the most important part, as I said, and the understanding of how they're made and where they're made and how it supports the communities. And also, you know, we talk about what Positive Elements stands for, which is, you know, the unfolding of human potential and creativity. So, you know, that's really integral with the selling of the products, and that's why we often say that the product is actually the end result of what we do. It's really the story and, you know, the what it leaves for future generations is really important to us as well. And also, you know, the unfolding of human potential is watching these women unfold and come into their own, which is quite a big cultural thing in India, to be able to change, you know, how women are seen in the world. So, and for me, it's a really humbling experience to work among the communities when I go back and see that happen. And I think that's part of, especially I think for me, you know, part of my journey, it's about letting go and trusting and you know, just honouring the process that we're going through with Positive Elements, both Kat and I ourselves, and how, you know, we are growing within ourselves. So it's a very personal journey. It gets very scary, and you know, we've shed a few tears, and we've had so much joy and so much fun. I think hopefully Kat would agree with that.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a roller coaster ride so far. Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, you know, it's about the unfolding of human potential, and not only the people that we're working with, but also ourselves. Because, you know, I think we're trying to move away from that idea that we're somehow in a better position than, you know, people in the developing world. We're not. We're all in the same, on the same journey together. And I think, you know, another aspect for me is about people remembering that we are all the same, that we are all going through, you know, this kind of learning process, and trying to be the best people we can be, and make a, you know, a livelihood for ourselves and our families. And that's also the kind of message that we want to get across to the people that buy these products, is, you know, they're also part of the process and part of this organization. So it's really about how we're engaging people, but using the medium of these products.
Yes, because when you buy, the trust is involved. Do you have to sign contracts, or can you, is the shake of a hand or a hug a binding?
It's definitely building of really strong relationships. It does not involve contract. What is a piece of paper with words on, really, at the end of the day? Like, you know, if people don't want to honour the process, then, you know, a contract isn't going to bind them to it. But it's the love and the journey and the joy that you share with those people that you, you know, you serve. And that's more, much, much more powerful than a contract. So, yes, it's done with love and joy and many times, many, many hugs.
Yeah. Well, that is one of the gifts of Auroville, of course, is that it was seeded to bring together people who are wanting a better world.
Yes.
And so you're going into an establishment where there's an ethic sort of embedded in the system that we're all part of a global family, so let's see if we can work through it.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask, can you walk us through to a couple of villages in regarding to what you are working with, and say health and education or water or food or whatever it might be?
Well, we're only a year and a half down the track, if you like, so we're still in the start-up phase of what we're doing, although I've been, you know, selling the products for a few years, but that's mainly to test the market. And we're also looking to have a not-for-profit organisation, and we have no idea how that's going to unfold, and we will just let the universe guide us on that one. But from what we're doing right now is I go to India once a year. I came back earlier this year where I'd spent some time in a unit called Well, which is Well Women. And this is an amazing, incredible bunch of ladies who all they knew how to do up till a couple of years ago was gut fish. The tsunami came, and of course, you know, many of them were very frightened. They have not gone back to sea. In fact, most of the boats are where the sea placed them. They haven't moved them. And so an Israeli couple decided that they wanted to help in some way, so they advertised for women who wanted to learn craft. And people came and watched demonstrations of how to weave out of rolled-up paper, newspaper, old newspaper. And from that, many women came from various villages and wanted to train and learn. And it just started as that, as just how can we get these women to be doing something, to give them a purpose. And then it turned into a business. And these women are so well looked after. All of the money that they make goes to them. Danny and Ori, who actually run the unit, literally they're just there to supervise and help. So Ori teaches them how to weave, and how to design different products, which can be anything from a pot holder to a wine glass mat, or it can be jewelry, It's just many, many different things, and they're very, very intricate what they make, and it's just fascinating to watch these hands, as I said, that all they knew how to do was gut fish, create these very intricate items. And last time I was there, I sat amongst them, and I was completely overwhelmed with how little that they had and how happy they were. Like, you know, they're singing, they're actually having dancing lessons in the morning just to take them back to, you know, going back to how they used to be, you know, before they had to strive to make, you know, earn money for families, you know, for children's education and things like that. And they're just, and they've got, you know, Ollie and Danny have provided them with coaching sessions, which I don't think any Indian women have ever had. And they're flourishing. They're making huge decisions in their life. They're making financial decisions, ecological decisions. They've decided that they want to do away with the caste system and their working environment, so they all are in, you know, they're all there together. Normally they would be segregated in some instances, but they've chosen all to work together. They cook together. So they bring all of their food, they cook it together, and then they take it home so that when they get home they don't have to start cooking. It's just fascinating to watch them. And most of them, you know, they have come up with these ideas themselves. They're also given dental treatment, which, you know, they have, because the unit, all of the money is going to them, they put in half the money themselves, so they're not expecting to get handouts. You know, they earn half the money and then the other half is given to them. And all of these, all of the workers have had their teeth checked, which they've never ever had done in their life. They're getting nutritional lessons, learning a craft, and also learning about how to do business. How much do they charge for one of the baskets they, you know, they're making? How do they actually work out that time? So very, very practical lessons, so that when Danny and Ollie leave the unit, when, you know, they have trained people to be, say, in charge of it, you know, they've got all of these amazing skills. So to sit with them for days on end and just watch them dance and laugh and not be able to totally be understanding what they're saying, but just overwhelmed with humbleness is, I think, just the greatest gift that I could be given.
Yes, on the phone I have Teresa Grantham and Kat Burns, two Waiheke-based entrepreneurs of www.positiveelements.co.nz. Yes, well, not only that, their saris, the colour of their dresses, if you call them dresses, always bright and cheery, aren't they? So it brings another dimension to the way they live.
It is, and yet some of their lives are, you know, can be very sad as well, with the poverty, with, you know, even child abuse, wife abuse. And what I love about these women, and that all happens within these, you know, this unit, but they all pull together to support each other. There was an incident when I was there where one of the women had just had a baby and unfortunately had produced another daughter. And although the husband very much loved his wife, his family wanted him to divorce his wife and marry somebody else to produce a son. And all of these women in the unit got together and they spoke to him and they persuaded him to stay from love because he loved her so much. And, you know, that's very rare in an Indian community where you get that such a, you know, where they actually take on somebody else's business. They tend to listen to the problems but never interfere. Whereas these women, because they're such a strong unit, have come together to support each other even in those ways. Which I think is amazing.
Yes, we have difficulty here in New Zealand because we don't understand the ways of other cultures. But because, you know, we cherish all women, all children, all females or males, it doesn't matter. And so it's very difficult for us to understand that.
I would tend to disagree with you there, Tim. I think in all cultures there is many problems. You know, among communities, but it's how, you know, I mean, we look at what's happening in New Zealand with, you know, the abuse of children, but what is being done to stop that from happening, which, you know, I could go off on a different tangent here because that's another passion that I would love to work with, and it's really lovely to see that Indian women are taking a stand and are deciding that they want to break, you know, that culture of child abuse and them being beaten. And yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could do something positive here in New Zealand for that too, and see less children?
Yes, well, see, what you're doing in many ways, of course, is you're bringing awareness to us as a population here in New Zealand. You're expanding their consciousness, and of course, you're building a network to be able to communicate. Are you able to communicate? Telephones available, or is it the internet? How do you communicate with them from here in New Zealand?
From here, no difficulty at all. You know, India is quite a modern society. In fact, some of their technologies are way ahead of what we have here. So, you know, no problems communicating with them at all, picking up the phones. All of the units have phones, especially, I don't know, when you've been to Auroville. So, you know, it's a very sophisticated setup. And why we're using Auroville to begin with is because it has all of those, you know, a lot of the units have their systems in place already, because most of the units are actually run by Europeans. But totally, you know, although they run them, but the training is always for the Indians to be able to, you know, look after the units when it comes a time when they're not going to be there. So we use Auroville at the moment, but we do want to go global, and of course that will present many problems where there won't be communication. So that is part of what we want to do, is, you know, how can we help these communities that really want to help themselves, and how do we help them by whether it's providing them with one computer that we can communicate with, or, you know, all of those things. We're just going to, it's not something that we've got already set out, it's just going to unfold as we go into different communities. But we have been very blessed to, I guess, model, you know, use Auroville as a model for us, and, you know, to be able to make the mistakes within a community that has got all of the technological support.
Yes, I can understand.
And also we get a lot of, like, especially with, like, you know, Danny and Orly and the people that are sort of running the units, if you like, you know, they've got many, many talents in many different areas. So it's like now from Wellpaper, you know, we've just been providing them with bicycles through Positive Elements. We've been raising funds so that women don't have to walk so many hours backwards and forwards to their village. So they taught them how to ride a bike, and we've been sending money over there for the bicycles, being very supported by many people around New Zealand. And that's, you know, a great joy as well. So, and they've sent us back communication, you know, showing the women receiving the bikes and, you know, just the joy on their faces. And luckily enough, we can send that out to everybody that's been supportive. So, you know, technology is not a problem at all, and I can't see that being a problem anywhere else, as long as we're able to support them with, you know, even a wind-up computer, which you can get.
Yes, because is it, can people donate through you? Is there some sort of charitable?
Absolutely.
Is it, so you have a charitable aspect that can, people can get up on www.positiveelements.co.nz?
They can contact us directly, and we also have very transparent business practices, which we're setting in place now. So everybody knows, because we can just give them the details and they can send it to, you know, whichever unit they want directly to help on a project. So the money doesn't even have to come to us. We'll say, well, look, here's the bank account, just put it straight into the bank account. So we don't even have to deal with that. And that's how we like it, because it means, you know, everybody knows that the money is going directly to a project.
Yeah, lovely to know that this connection's happening.
Yeah.
Teresa, are there others, do you know of other businesses in New Zealand who are sort of involved in this type of thing, or are you out there right in front?
We'd like to think that we are different from many other organisations, because we take the social, the environment and the economical aspects into consideration. But everybody's doing such a great job. But wouldn't it be great if we could all join together and do it together as one, which would be so much more powerful. And we invite anybody that wants to join us. I mean, it's an open organisation. Anybody that wants to come and help or support, or, you know, anybody that wants to join with us or us joining with them, that's, you know, that's what we're about. It's not just positive elements and we're here and we're doing this. It's like, how can we do it bigger and better and more successfully for the benefit of those that need it?
And are you looking beyond India at the moment?
India is we're in our next phase of business, and I'm just going to hand you over to Kat about that, so that we're actually, you know, taking quite a giant leap forward. We're changing the way that we feel like from the business aspect of what we're doing, and I'll hand you over to Kat, and she'll be able to explain how we're doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so far we've just been, I suppose, testing the business model and trying different ways of promoting these products, because we see that the products can give us the economic sustainability to do all of the work that we want to do with the communities. So it's been important for us to get ourselves on a good financial footing, because there's so many things that we would love to do with communities and go out to as many communities as possible. But it has to be sustainable financially as well. And so far we've been wholesaling to gift stores and organic shops, candle shops around New Zealand. But we're finding that it's, obviously we want to take it bigger. We want to get those products out into the mainstream as much as possible. Because these products are for everyone. It's not just for people that are, you know, already buying eco products or already buying fair trade products. We'd really like to get it out to people that, you know, maybe haven't seen such things before, that they don't really know what ethical consumerism is, and, you know, they just love the product and the message comes from within, you know, from within the product. And so now we're working with some bigger businesses. We've got a contract with a hotel and spa chain which has 65 hotels around the world, and we're actually going to be distributing our products through them, which is really, really great, because that's exactly the kind of people we want to get these products out to, people that, you know, perhaps have money but, you know, aren't used to thinking about what they buy, you know. So it's about, you know, kind of again raising their awareness about the kind of things they're buying, and how by changing, you know, how they buy, they can actually really create quite positive impacts in the world. And so that's really exciting, and that's again taking it to a much more global level, and also working with you know, some other potential distributors in other countries. So yeah, we're really kind of in that next stage of taking these types of products and the story that goes behind it to, you know, different countries all over the world, and trying to, you know, get the message out to as many people as possible.
And do you get any support from any government agency?
No, we don't. Not at this stage, because we're actually a business, and we decided that we wanted to do it that way. We thought about it for a while and thought, well, you know, shall we do this as a non-profit or a business? And in the end, I think we realized that we actually wanted to do this as a business project, because for me and Therese, it's really important to show that business can be a force for positive change in the world. And I think it's business that is really, you know, so far has been causing quite a lot of the destruction and detrimental effects on the planet. So it's that really needs to change. And this is why we're doing this, really, is to show some kind of example of how it can be done differently, and how it can actually really change people's lives and be, you know, a really good good force for the earth. So we chose to do it in a business form, and as a result, this means it's not really eligible to a lot of funding, government funding, things like that. So we're doing it privately, looking at taking on private investors. And so far, it's just been a process of, like Teresa says, unfolding, you know. We haven't really had budget, but it's just been magical to see, you know, what comes in, the amount we've achieved with very little resources. It's,
well,
it's quite incredible.
Yeah. I mean, Kat and I mean, I haven't taken a wage in I don't know how many years, and Kat is just, you know, this incredible woman who's come on board who I haven't paid her a bean. She's doing it for love. And the fun of it. But, you know, there is a serious side to it as well. Obviously, we do, you know, sustainability is about sustaining ourselves. But for some, you know, it's for me, it's been a lesson in trust. You know, I've always been lived in a very contained way, I guess. You know, I've never spent over any amount of money that I didn't have, and I've never, you know, over-splurged on a budget. I mean, I had lots of fun, but I was very cautious. And all of a sudden, it's, you know, it's like you letting go of all of that and trusting that, you know, you're on this path for a reason. And it is trust. You just have to trust, because there are times when we've looked at the bank account and gone, okay. And then the next thing, it turns up, and it really is miraculous. And so there's huge amounts of lessons in here for both of us personally. And I've just, you know, sometimes I haven't enjoyed the ride sometimes, but it's about letting go for me as well. It's like you create this, you know, you have this vision and you hold on to it too tightly. And it's so big that, you know, you think for some reason you can do it yourself, and you realize that you can't. And for me, it has been that whole process of, you know, not being a control freak and letting it happen and just be guided. And it's about not so much doing, but being and listening and being guided.
And that's really the environment we want to create within the organization. Like, it's really important to us that everyone that is a part of Positive Elements that plays with us or works with us is supported in that way, you know, is given the opportunity to learn and grow and bring that spirit into, you know, into work, into everything that we're creating. So, you know, me and Teresa and Roma, there's just three of us at the moment. But it's growing every day, it seems. We've got lots of beautiful people joining us, which is quite amazing. You know, we sit and meditate together. It's much more than just come in, do your work and leave. It's really, you come in with your whole self, you know, if you're having problems at home, and it's an environment where we support each other, you know, where we listen to each other and learn from each other and grow together. So, you know, and that's what's been really special for me, is just to watch the transformation in Teresa, in Roma, in the people that are part of this organization, and in myself, and for people to watch that growth in myself as well, and just feel so supported in that. So I know that's also what we think of as, you know, doing business consciously. It's so much more than just thinking of people and the environment for us. It's, you know, it's literally, you know, us all growing together, including the communities we work with and the people that buy the products.
Yes, we also conduct, if you want to call it, business in quite a special way as well. You know, we call business groups, but we take care of them. You know, they come for a weekend, and we, you know, we nurture them with lots of raw food, and, you know, we meditate together, and, you know, it's just, and what comes out of those groups, you know, the last one we had, I think, about 15 people, you know, supporting us in what we're doing, and to be able to nurture them and take care of them. And they didn't want to go. You know, they didn't want to leave Waiheke Island. They missed a boat. And, you know, and it's not just about, it wasn't about just us. It's about how can those people connect with other people that are there and help them on their journey and what their vision is. And so that's what we love about what we do.
And the amazing thing about those weekends is that, you know, people come there to support us and lend us their time and energy and ideas, but they end up actually getting more, you know, more out of it. You know, that's what people always say, is that, you know, wow, I just felt so uplifted, and, you know, I really learned a lot in that weekend, or I made some really amazing connections with these people that are going to help me in my business. And so, yeah, that's what it is for us, doing business like that, where it's about, you
know, sitting around a desk and having, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, us all helping each other. It's not competition. There's no competition. It's like, you know, well, how can we all work together, like Teresa was saying, to create what we want to create? Because everything is interlinked, you know, all of these different businesses and projects, and, you know, they all share the same underlying values. So And we really wanted to do away with that whole thing of reinventing the wheel. You know, we don't pretend to know everything. We don't, you know, we've got our experiences and skills, but we can learn so much from other people that have done similar things or are doing similar things. So we're really looking, you know, we've really been developing those connections with people that share similar visions so that we can all learn and grow together and develop our businesses or projects at the same time.
We've also had some amazing experiences as well. It's like, you know, a very beautiful man. I don't think I should mention his name on air. I haven't asked him. But, you know, just somebody came and lent us money. We didn't sign a contract. We did it on a handshake. And his belief was that he trusts what we're doing and he loves what we're doing. You know, I just find that quite mind-blowing that people do that. Because that very doesn't happen too much in this world. You know, you've got to go to the bank and fill out 10 million forms. And this was like, it was easy. And I actually didn't know him that well either. But it was just, you know, a belief in what he had and what we were doing. So those are the special moments that we have.
Very much so. Well, okay, what you're proving is that family can come together from so many different areas and that... there's a synergistic flow that happens that when we are in a state of excitement and we're working for the betterment of the whole, then innovative ideas and inspiration, intuition come through.
And you're absolutely right. It's working in your flow. You know, so often we get caught up in the small details, especially, you know, if you have, you know, a small business and limited funds you know, it's actually, for me, it's been learning to let that go and know that somebody will come along and take up the reins or something will happen. We don't have to do anything. And it is learning about opening your heart and allowing people to come in and share your belief and allowing them to help you in whatever way they want. You know, for many of us, that's quite a big lesson to learn. Again, we get so caught up in just doing, forget about being, and don't really look outside ourselves for help and support.
Yes, I guess it's all an inner journey to make sure that we're clear inside, that we have pure intent, and then trusting in the process.
Absolutely. You put it beautifully. I couldn't put it better.
Yeah. And I think it's also about, you know, finding out what you're passionate about. You know, what is it that gives you joy and uplifts you? And, you know, finding that and following it, being brave enough to follow it. You know, like it's been a journey for us to learn, okay, well, what is it that we're really passionate about doing in this, in Positive Elements? And what are we there for? Good at, and you know what gives us most joy. And it's one thing to identify it, but it's another to actually take that step and do it, you know, and not get distracted by the, you know, the doing. And you know, because you can always get stuck in the day-to-day running of a business. It's really easy to do, and sometimes it's safer, you know, you don't actually put yourself out there too much. So yeah, that's what we're doing right now, is really putting things in place so that me and Teresa can both go forward and do what we're really, really passionate about. And just trust that everything else is gonna fall into place.
So you're gonna come and join us, Tim?
I'll be there. I'm backstage lighting at the moment, but definitely, because having been to Pondicherry myself,
yes,
and
I know.
and have an understanding of the people in that particular area to a degree, I was always interested at how they the woman used to paint these mandalas on their front doorstep.
Yes.
Every house had a beautiful mandala, different one every time, that when you walked over the threshold, so to speak, either in or out,
yep,
this geometric configuration was like a blessing. Can you
tell
us a little
more?
Well,
you know the story behind that, don't you? They're called columns in some areas, and it's the women get up very, very early before dawn, or so that they and they paint them at that time, and it's to keep the house and them safe. And they do all different, many, many different types, depending on what the moon and the stars are doing. And yeah, it's quite an intricate artwork, and it has, you know, many, many different meanings.
It's a blessing of a home too, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And of course, this is what we in New Zealand, we tend to sort of rush out and we don't recognise. Some people put white light around the house, which is always a reminder that we are connected to something greater. But I was always impressed at how all the different homes in India, or particularly in that particular area, had these just wonderful designs.
Yes. Well, you know, you can go all the way up to Darjeeling and see them as well, you know, outside their houses. And they, you know, do lots of different colours and, you know, they're quite spectacular.
And finally, with purity of business or transparency, could you just lay that out for us, please?
I think there's many aspects to positive elements, most of which we've talked about. But one of the things is that how do we do business transparently? So we're working towards having everything out there, so everybody knows where every penny is going to, or every cent, I should say. You know, what we're doing, being completely open and honest, and, you know, we're working towards that now, which we're quite excited about, and also to documenting our progress in the business. So, you know, we'd love to add a blog to our website so that people can, you know, see our journey, experience our journey, and also learn from it, so those that are wanting to perhaps start similar businesses, you know, have a model to work by, which we're quite excited about. So, again, it's not about reinventing the wheel, but it is about sharing what we're doing in the most transparent way. And obviously, financially, for us, it's really important that that transparency is there as well, especially when people are gifting us money. But it's just also, you know, that's the way we want to do it. So everybody will know how much we're getting paid and where it's being sent to and what's happening.
It's a new way of business now, isn't it? A lot of people want to show just exactly where they are. It's like a spiritual, what should we say, transparency.
It is. Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, when there's nothing to hide, there's no reason not to have everything there that people can access, especially when you're wanting, you know, people to join in and be part of what you're creating. I think people will be more led by the fact that transparency is there. And I'm sure it's not new in business, but it's certainly, I don't know too many small businesses that do it.
Yes, well, you're setting something up for the future that everybody then can possibly emulate.
That's right. I think Kat wants to say something there.
I was just going to say... yeah, I think the thing as well about being transparent is that, you know, admitting that we, you know, we're not perfect. We don't always get it right. You know, I just know that, you know, sometimes you're looking at different websites and businesses and organizations that are doing, you know, some amazing work in the world. And there's no real personal aspect to it. And sometimes you think, well, it can't, you know, it's too good to be true. How is this all happening? And you know, for us, it's really being honest about, you know, all of the things that happen in our business, what mistakes we make and how we learn from them. And because I think by being open about the things that you're not so good on, you can get help from that. People can actually know how they can contribute. Whereas I think a lot of people put it out there as if it's all perfect and all going well. So yeah, I'm just keen to have that aspect of things where it is our personal story and also the story of the business and how it's growing and what challenges we're facing, so that, you know, it's like other people know what it's like when they're starting these kinds of businesses. They can see what the challenges are and learn from other people's mistakes. It makes it a lot easier.
I agree.
It's inspirational as well. You know, I love, for me, total honesty, I always find very inspiring in people, so it's something that we'd like to emulate.
Excellent. I thank you so much, Teresa and Kat.
And, thank you, Tim.
I say thank you again, and we look forward to catching up with you in business or in the network.